talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good Wednesday morning, and welcome to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I will be your host for the hour. I'm Robin, and I have an exciting show today. Quite honestly, I'm not exactly sure what will happen, but a couple of cartoonists contacted me last week, and I'm going to be talking to them about how women are really making waves in the comic industry and in the writing of graphic novels and putting this material together with voices that we don't often hear from or hear about that are written in this fashion. So it should be. Like I said, quite informative and also exciting. While we wait for one of my guests to find the station here in the bowels of the sub-building, we're going to listen to a song. This is from a band called One Far Sun. And quite honestly, I don't know a whole lot about them. They had sent me this in a press kit, and I listened, and I thought that it was really quality stuff. So I'm going to share it with you. It is called People in the Middle, here to start us off.
Dried up for the people in the middle.
called One Far Sun, and that was a track called People in the Middle to start us off on Intravenous this morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Robin, and in studio today, I'm joined by two guests that I'm very excited for us to get to know. And we're all going to get to know each other equally because this is our first meeting, and the interview came together quite spontaneously and on quite short notice. So it's going to be a little bit of an ad hoc conversation, but that's great. As I mentioned in the intro, I have two local cartoonists here with me. Ivana Filipovic and Miriam Libicki. Oh my goodness. Can't see for a look in here at my notes. And maybe I'll just get the two of you to say hi and introduce yourselves to our listeners in the ways that you would like them to know you.
Hi, my name is Ivana Filipovic, and I'm a female cartoonist originally from Serbia. I've been living here for almost 25 years, actually in April. It will be 25 years, so it's a lifetime. When I first came here, I had huge hopes of making it as a cartoonist. And then I realized, oh, it wasn't going to be that easy. So I actually left cartooning and illustration and started working in other jobs and finally made my way to SFU. And I've had an amazing career here, starting from a web designer to manager, director, and now an analyst. So I'm still here, which is crazy.
And back to illustration and cartooning.
Yes, since about 2017.
Okay.
I'm Miriam Libicki. Thank you very much for having me here. I'm also an immigrant to here. I'm originally from the States, and I've also been here since around the turn of the last century. I originally came here to go to Emily Carr, and that is also where I started drawing comics, although there wasn't any sort of comics classes there yet. So I started drawing comics a little bit illicitly at Emily Carr doing my painting degree. And I've lived here ever since and have been self-publishing comics since 2005. I do a lot of autobiographical works and a lot of stuff about Jewish identity is something that I explore. And I've been, for the last 8 years or so, I've been teaching at Emily Carr that now there is an illustration department and a bit more comics content. So I've been privileged to teach some newer cartoonists for the last few years, and I draw pretty slow, but I've just been slowly and steadily putting out comics as well all that time.
Cool. I don't think that we've had any female comic drawers, illustrators on the program in my time, so it feels special to me. You know, I think when we think about the industry of comic writing and comic illustration, that's not the picture of who's behind the pencil or the pens or the paints behind the scenes. What drew you to the medium, I guess? You know, what is it about the comic or the graphic novel that really is the juice?
For me, I think it was this really inexpensive opportunity to make your own stories, visual stories. So visual storytelling is something that I am I really love. Of course, I read a lot of comics as a kid, starting with junky, you know, floppy ones, and then graduating to graphic novels. And I find that there are so many interesting and fulfilling stories, especially in so-called literary comics. Because, of course, when you talk about comics, that's such a huge area. There are all kinds of comics. There are commercial comics, alternative comics, you name it. Similarly to literature, for example, such a wide variety of expressions. For me, it was really about the ability to tell short stories in multiple ways. So that's what I have been exploring throughout my career.
Yeah, I did grow up reading superhero comics, and also, like, you know, Mad Magazine and Humor Comics. They meant a lot to me as a little kid. I feel like I kind of learned to read on comics, and it was something that I shared with my siblings, and we would kind of write fanfic of our Marvel heroes that we didn't know the term fanfic at the time. But I was into them from a little kid, and I think that I was always into art, and I was into painting, but I liked the sensibility of comics because I felt like it was just a much more immediate communication tool. Painting seemed kind of remote. It seemed kind of something that happened in the past centuries. It, you know, it was very Catholic, the history of Western painting, which was something that, you know, as a Jewish kid, I was like, okay, that's not really me. And that comics being, you know, more humorous, more wordy, more sort of in your head, was a kind of art form that I really related to. But like Ivana, I got eventually into the more literary comics. Like at a certain point, I couldn't take superhero comics anymore, and they were just too dumb. And then I was out of comics for a while, for several years, and then I kind of discovered the more literary comics and the more self-expressive comics. And that's the first time that I really thought I could draw comics. When I started at Emily Carr, there was a book in the library that I got out because it featured Art Spiegelman. And I was, Art Spiegelman, the creator of Mouse, was very important to me. And I was very interested in him. So I was going to write like a paper on him in my art school. And in the same book, though, collected, was also Phoebe Gleckner, which is, and I had never heard of her as a cartoonist before. They adapted one of her books into a movie, Diary of a Teenage Girl. And that, I mean, it wasn't a movie yet, but that's where listeners might know the name. I think that she had a really raw autobiographical comic that was still semi-fictionalized, but it was about basically a relationship that she was in as a teenager that was, you know, grooming by a pedophile. And it was just like, I was really inspired by how personal it got, but as well that it had so much craft behind it. It wasn't just pure, like, art therapy. And I think that's when I first thought maybe comics is something for me. And like the autobiographical is kind of one of the main genres I've been working in.
Okay. This is all such an education for me. Because I didn't read a lot of comics as a kid, and probably as an adult haven't read a lot of comics. I had no idea that there was such a splitting of the genres through the comic medium.
Yeah, in North America, superhero comics, like until this current century, superhero comics really dominated what comics were in most people's imagination. But in, you know, places like Asia and in Europe, where Yvonne is from, I think that there's been an understanding for a longer time that so many different kind of stories can be told in comics.
Absolutely. I grew up reading Hugo Pratt and Corto Maltese. Those books are considered the first literary comics. ever. And that's what really kind of like opened my eyes to different ways of telling a story. For example, Hugo Pratt would mix history and fiction, and in a, such an intelligent way that I felt it was really on par with the best literature out there. And I was a voracious reader as a kid, so I read everything. One of my favorite things was just to read stuff that was at home. And back then, people used to buy books by meter, kind of like a meter of Tolstoy, a meter of, I don't know, Chekhov, or meter of some French writers. So as a little kid, as soon as I learned how to read, I just basically switched to, you know, literature, because that was the stuff that was always on the shelves. And I didn't understand much of it, but still read through. So it was kind of like, at first, comics were just entertainment. So I was reading comics, like I mentioned, some pulpy stuff coming from Italy, for example. Most of your listeners would not be familiar with that, but those are very popular in Europe, especially in former Yugoslavian Republic still. Which is amazing to me. They're still running them. I think some of those are actually only running based on the audience they have in former Yugoslavia. But, you know, just like Miriam, I quickly realized, okay, well, that's just, you know, must be something else there. So, and of course, a huge door opened up, and this incredible world of comics, which is international, more and more has opened up. And now that I'm in North America, I'm so happy to be able to read comics that come from Korea, for example, which is one of the centers of cartooning today, with some really incredible artists and exciting stories to tell.
The ability, I guess, for you to tell these autobiographical stories, as you mentioned, Miriam, and really craft them in a way that you're reading, but you're also seeing how the emotion kind of plays itself out, right? You get a two-part art, you know, with the words, but also with the pictures. Where and how does that? I don't even know the words that I'm trying to put together here.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that first appealed to me was I was kind of telling a story that happened, like, you know, abroad. I was telling a story that happened somewhere else, and it kind of what I wanted to explain was, you know, this the atmosphere. And I think that, like, writing description can be really tricky for authors and sometimes for readers also. Like, it's hard to write description without making it boring with, you know. And so that's, I think, one great advantage we have as comics artists is you can really set a scene. Like, you can really make somebody immersed in an atmosphere, and it doesn't take a huge budget like a movie. you just do it all yourself. You draw, you know, the sets, as it were, and you can immerse people, and then the look of the place can really influence, you know, how the reader understands the action. And the same with character description. Like, that's kind of tricky to do in prose. Like, obviously you have to do it, and different authors have different wonderful ways of doing it. But as a cartoonist, you have the character description in front of the reader all the time. And so they can always see, you know, how the person is looking and how their particular face reacts to it. So in that way, you know, it is kind of like cinematic, but we have, you know, we have more freedom than people making movies, because it's all you. It's all, yeah, one creator or one creative team. And also then we have also the element of the fantastical, which, you know, is something that we can play with in comics that is much harder to do in film. Ivana's recent book, Where Have You Been?, which is a crime relationship story, has a very, very strong sense of place. Like it's set in the Richmond night market. And so I feel like that's a story that really is best told in comics because, you know, it's just this surrealism of that, you know, the Richmond night market surrounding these lovelorn gangsters who are coming together and falling apart and shooting each other.
Yep, and the River Rock Casino.
Right, yes.
So, yeah, it was important for me. That's the story. Actually, it's What Sphere Got to Do with It.
Oh, sorry.
No. That's I have two very similarly named books.
Right.
So the blue one you have in front of you, What Sphere Got to Do with It, is the one that's set in Richmond and Vancouver. It started actually a long time ago as a project that I wanted to have as my first graphic novel back home, but unfortunately I had to abandon it. And then once I got some interest from a publisher here, which is Conundrum Press, Andy Brown is a publisher who always looks for talent that's making literary comics. So we got connected through a friend of mine and his, and he read my collection of short comics and suggested that I expand one of the short comics, which is not so short, it's 30 pages, into a full-size graphic novel. And then when I signed the contract, I actually started to panic. I'm not interested in this story at all anymore. I mean, I started doing this over 20 years ago. And back then it was set in the Belgrade clubbing scene. And I was thinking, you know, who is ever going to be interested in this nowadays? I mean, not that Belgrade is not a clubbing city anymore. It's still considered one of the Europe's capitals of partying and clubbing. But I just didn't feel any connection to it anymore. So it's a long time for something like that. So I started thinking, so what would make it interesting for me? And I'm a foodie, and I love going to Richmond Night Market. And I said to myself, I have all these photos I took. And I have a library of reference photos. I love the feel of it. I love the crowds, and you can hide all kinds of things in it. And I also started looking into more into this interesting relationship of three people in a relationship, which I don't think is often portrayed in comics or any other medium. So there is a three-way relationship in this small graphic novel that's from my point of view very interesting, because we have one person who is really in love and the other one who wants to get out, but we don't know that at the beginning. That was also something I wanted to portray, is basically a bunch of people who all have their really faults, big things that are actually, you would say that none of them is a hero character. You don't have a hero character in this graphic novel. They all have their humanities on display. They all have their good and bad sides. And once you read it through, I'm not sure if you will have a favorite character. I know the hero concept is the one that people use in novels, in literature, and in any other kind of expression. Like filmmaking is also based often on the hero concept, but I wanted to show characters that would not be kind of like taken as heroes after reading, for sure.
Yeah, I think that sort of ambivalence and ambiguity is something that comics are really good at. And again, like, if you just think about comic strips, you think about superheroes, you might not think that. But I feel like because of the combination of words and pictures, and then also the transitions between pictures, that you can be looking at, you know, two panels at once, you can be looking at a whole page at once. It's really good to have, you know, it's a really good place to show contradictions, and to show, like, that you can, you know, there is a difference between showing and telling in a comic, and you can tell one thing while showing another thing.
Totally. And what I'm also interested about is what's not said or shown. So I always think that stories happen in the reader's mind. So they are the second party to this, and we have to leave room for them to create their own story out of your actual book. So a lot of times I'm actually editing down what I'm saying, like so much that I leave just little traces here and there so people can make their own connections, can make their own storyline, decide what the storyline is. Sometimes that can be confusing, and it's not how many other people work, but I feel that if you leave people room to apply their own intelligence, they'll be more grateful. And that's what I hear usually when people read my work, that's basically how they feel about it. But they also unsure, so sometimes I get questions like, what actually happened here?
and that's you say, okay. You decide.
Yeah, that's right. I always say, you decide. And that's actually, I think it's even written at the end of the book, and not very many people turn that last page where it says, it's your story. It's not mine anymore. And I know Miriam actually has an approach that's kind of like more documentary, your essays. I fell in love with your essays when I first started reading your comics, Miriam. It was that a story who gets to be an unfit mother.
Right, who gets called an unfit.
Called an unfit mother. That was so impressive. I think we should hear a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Right. So I'm really interested in the intersection of comics and nonfiction. And there are different genres of nonfiction, right? So one of my first influences when I started making comics was Joe Sacco, who does comics from sort of a journalism perspective. That he's a trained journalist, but also a really good artist. So he wrote books from different, like, sort of conflicts around the world, and Palestine is one of his most famous ones. It's going to be reissued soon. And that was a big influence on me. And so I was really impressed how he could do really immersive and really subjective, really personal journalism in comics form. And so I was like, okay, so there's autobiography in comics, or autobio, as we call it. And then there's journalism in comics. And so what other genres of nonfiction could really work as comics? I started doing graphic essays. So basically, that's it can have, like a personal essay, it can have personal and narrative elements, but it's really about exploring a theme rather than going through a narrative from beginning to end. So exploring a theme, exploring a topic or a question. And so that's kind of one thing that I've been working on. And, you know, in the last 15, 20 years since I started doing these, you know, short pieces that I called graphic essays, graphic essays has actually become an established genre. Many people, there's a movement called graphic medicine, where people talk about, you know, medical experiences they've had, like, you know, their journey with a cancer diagnosis or with some other medical condition, or they're, you know, sometimes they're as a health professional, and they explore these things through comics, and that's become a really powerful